night. Holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, glory stream from thy holy face. Bring the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, welcome. You have gathered to hear my story. My name is Amos, recently retired from the Jerusalem paper. My story begins 35 years ago now, fresh out of school and ready to change the world. I went to work for the Jerusalem paper, more than a little disappointed when they sent me south from Jerusalem to cover events in the Hebron Valley. My first assignment was to cover the great census the governor had called for. It would take place in Bethlehem. All the descendants of David were to gather to be counted and to be taxed. Some things never change. I had no idea that I was about ready to stumble upon the most important event in history. The story of shepherds who saw the skies above them opened. The story of a man named Joseph, a young woman named Mary, and of her faith and trust in Jehovah. I was to interview pilgrims as they made their way to Bethlehem and to send back their traveling stories, human interest. But my story would take a far different turn, as would my life. Another writer wrote of the events in this way. It was in the sixth month that God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Her name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Well, Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what this greeting meant. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you will give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And of his kingdom there will be no end." "How will this be?" Mary asked, "since I am a virgin." The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High God will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Messiah, the Son of God. In fact, even Elizabeth, your relative, is having a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is even now in her sixth month. May it be to me as you have said." Mary spoke to the angel. She hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when the sound of her greeting reached Elizabeth's ear, the baby leaped in her womb, and she was filled with the Spirit of God. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you, Mary. Blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The sound of your greeting reached my ear. The baby leaped within me." Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." The people of Bethlehem, children of Israel, were expecting Messiah. All of their history, all of their scripture pointed to this time for their promised deliverer to come. The one that in their mind, their understanding of scripture, would overthrow the bondage of Rome, restore the glory of Israel. The idea of their Messiah being born humbly in a manger, not something they understood. But understanding that the Messiah would come through the line of David, all of the descendants, the young women prayed that they might be mother to this Messiah. But Mary could not have been a better choice. God chose a woman that was humble and loved him with all of her heart, that would raise Jesus in a way that he would understand who he was and the call upon his life. The name of Jesus would soon be known throughout the world, but Mary was the first to hear it. Mary was the first to hear it. Name that came from heaven above. In God's word, we're told the story. This the only name worth singing of. wonderful name, Jesus. Wonderful name, Jesus. Name angels sang the night all heaven rang. Wonderful name, Jesus. Heaven touched his name with glory. Precious name of Jesus the King. In God's word, we're told the story of this wondrous name the angels sing. Wonderful name, Jesus. Wonderful name, Jesus. Name angels sang the night all heaven rang. Wonderful name, Jesus.
The day after the birth of the baby, as pilgrims began to leave Bethlehem for their homes, we were able to find a room for the young family. They remained there for a little more than a month, in accordance to the Jewish laws of purification. During that time, I was able to get to know Mary, but even more so, I was able to get to know Joseph. And as I've heard the story recounted through the years, it seems that his story has been greatly overlooked. And yet what an important part he would be called to play. It would be Joseph that would be called upon to teach the Son of God the Holy Scriptures. It would be Joseph that would be called upon to show Jesus the Father heart of God. And he felt that responsibility deeply. Often we would walk in the hills outside of Bethlehem. And as we did, we would talk, we would pray together. Another writer wrote of Joseph's story in this way. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in his mind to put her away quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, for what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. This is in accordance to what Isaiah wrote. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. I have heard the story recounted through the years. But Joseph's story is so important in the understanding of who Jesus was. The last night that I would see Joseph, he came to me after Mary and the baby had fallen asleep, and he asked if I would walk with him. And we went into the hills outside of Bethlehem, and we walked for hours. At the close of the evening, he returned to the inn. Before we said goodbye, he shared this prayer with me that I have never forgotten. He said, "How can it be? This baby in my arms, sleeping now, so peacefully, the Son of God. The angel said, how can it be? Lord, I know he's not my own, not of my flesh, not of my bone. Still, Father, let this baby be son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be fathered to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life, I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? Can I raise a king? He looked so small, his face and hands so fair. And when he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. But when he laughs, it shines again. How can it be? Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life, I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise your king? How can it be? This baby in my arms, sleeping now, so peacefully, the Son of God. The angel said, how can it be? How can it be? can it be? I would never see Joseph again. When we woke the next morning, the young family had left sometime in the night, heading south to Egypt. I understand now that Joseph was not questioning God's ability to do what he said he would, just wondering about his place in the great drama. I remained in Bethlehem for 2 years following the birth of Jesus, sending back regular reports to the paper. I was eventually brought back to the main branch of the paper and worked in Jerusalem for the next 30 years, moving up in the ranks until my retirement 5 years ago. And it was about that time that we began to hear stories, rumors at first, of a man traveling the region that's teaching as no one had ever heard before. That with a touch from his hand or a word from his lips, the eyes of the blind were opened, deaf ears were unstopped. We began to hear stories of the dead being raised, and I knew it was Jesus. I remembered those days in Bethlehem. I remembered what I had felt in my spirit. I remembered what I had heard, what I had seen. I remember the stories of the shepherds who told us of angels proclaiming a Messiah. I remembered the dreams that Mary and Joseph had shared with me and the sense of awe that I had felt. And I knew that it was Jesus. I began to follow him as a reporter at first, sending back regular stories on what we had seen, what we had heard. I was there when he entered Jerusalem, that Passover season. I was part of the crowds that hailed him as king, throwing palm branches and clothing at his feet. I was part of the crowd as I heard the cries being raised for his death. And I wondered why. I was there at the processional through Jerusalem, watching as Mary and John followed Jesus up a hill called Golgotha. And I thought back to the prophecies of the Messiah. And I wondered why. I was at the cross when Jesus' words came across the valley, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I knew he spoke to me. Forgive me, I'm getting away from my story today. We were talking of his birth this season. But perhaps if we isolate the birth of Jesus from the purpose of it, we do disservice. Something I wrote for the paper shortly before my retirement went like this. "But as for you, Bethlehem, from the words of Micah, one will go forth from you to be a great ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from the days of eternity, and he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, and he will be great to the ends of the earth. And this one will be your peace." as the Bethlehem sun rose over the desert sky. Travelers continued to pour into Bethlehem, their minds preoccupied with finding a place to stay for the night. Few, if any, gave so much as a moment's thought to the ancient prophecies of this dusty little village. Few, if any, gave so much as a moment's thought to a young couple who could only find lodging in a stable. No one realized that this was to be a day of destiny for the world. For the Bethlehem sun had risen on the making of a miracle. Lift up your heads to greet the morn. His hand is stretched out still. For unto us a child is born, his promise to fulfill. Jerusalem, he cried for you. He did not come to you in vain. His loving arms are stretched out wide for you. And he will come. He will come again. Bethlehem morning, more than just a memory. For the child that was born there has come to set us free. Bethlehem sunrise, I can see him in your eyes. For the child that was born there, his spirit never dies. A new Jerusalem, and we will reign. We will reign with him. Bethlehem morning, it's more than just a memory. For the child that was born there has come to set us free. Bethlehem sunrise, I can see him in your eyes. For the child that was born there, for the child that was born there, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has come
He has come to set us free. Come to set us free. Come to set us free. That's the story of Christmas. I may have shared this last year when I was with you, or the year before, but to me it's the Christmas story, briefly. Consider with me, just for 2 or 3 minutes, a conversation taking place between a father and a son. But it's not any father and son, it's God himself. And he speaks to his ever-present son. And the discussion goes something like this: Son, you know my love for you. We've never been apart. You've been a part of everything, even at the creation of the world. And you understand that even though I love you, I love those that we have created. Jesus said, oh, as I do too, Father. And for all of their history, we've prepared them through the giving of the law, through the prophets, the prophecies, the kings, the sacrifices. We've prepared them for what must happen next. There will be one final sacrifice, Son. A perfect, unblemished, pure, holy sacrifice that once and for all will take care of the sin of our created. And the son who knows the plan nods. And God continues saying, Son, you will be that sacrifice. We've chosen godly parents to raise you. You'll grow up knowing truth and understanding early in your life who you are. As a young man, you'll begin to travel and to share the joy and the story of our kingdom. And you'll raise up followers that, when you no longer can, will continue the message of our kingdom. But after just a few years, son, they will all turn against you. And son, they're going to kill you. You will be that sacrifice. All of their sin, all of their guilt, all of their past will be poured into you, my holy son. And you will die a horrible, cruel, harsh death, as no one has ever experienced and no one ever will. Not only the physical pain, son, but the weight of the sin of humanity. Because I love them so much. But son, we'll be together again, I promise you that. You know the story, son. After 3 days, I'm going to bring you out of that grave, and all of their guilt and all of their past and sin will remain there. And when you enter the kingdom again, following you for the years that follow will be the thousands and the millions that will come to know us through your work and your teaching and your death and resurrection. And following you into eternity,
will be the very bride of Christ, our family. But first, son, you have to become man, and you have to die. And Jesus, who has known the plan since the beginning of time, says, "Yes, Father, all things are ready. Let it be so." And God becomes man, and the first Christmas. That's what we celebrate a week from today. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know Jesus today as your Savior? If not, if he is speaking to you today and you feel in your spirit that there is a great emptiness, there's something missing, that's God calling you. And a prayer from your heart today that goes something like this: "Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I thank you that you came and that you lived and you died for me. Come into my life. I want to have your forgiveness, and I want to follow you." Jesus will always answer that prayer. The second thing, church, is to those of us that know him, how easy it is for us to get complacent in our walk with Jesus, to get caught up in the stuff of life. These next days before Christmas, would you take time every day in the busyness of your schedule just to be alone with your Heavenly Father and to thank him for Jesus? To thank him for the reason of Christmas. To thank him that he loved you so much that he sent his Son. To thank him that he's opening up eternity, that he's returning for his bride. And that in the midst of a world that for many of us seems to make no sense, he is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords, soon coming Master of the Universe. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy and the beauty and the message of Christmas, for the beautiful carols, for the stories, for all that it means, Lord. I thank you, Father, that it was all about our salvation. It was all about you becoming man for the purpose of dying on a cross. And Father, if there are those here today that are struggling, they don't know you as Savior, or maybe they aren't even sure, that today, Lord, they would turn to you, ask for your forgiveness, invite you into their lives, and begin to follow you. And Father, for those of us that know you, would you renew our commitment? Would you deepen our passion for you? Especially these next days before Christmas, in the midst of the rush and the busyness, Father, would you center our hearts on Jesus? And I pray, Lord, that you would raise up men and women and young people out of this congregation that are not ashamed of the gospel. And we will give you all the praise in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.